Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, happy Tuesday, everybody. Welcome, Super Talk Eagle Hour, back on the air from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Oak Grove. Appreciate Southern Bancorp sponsoring our studio, as they've done for the past couple of years. Opening segment of the show is sponsored by our wonderful friends at Movie Star Restaurant, where for 25 years they've been serving the best buffets in the Pine Belt. They're serving one right now as we talk. You can almost see the cars from here. Check them out, Movie Star Restaurant, famous for their southern cooking, and if you haven't been there, you'll eat one time and know why. Lee Roberts will join us later in the show, get another preview, or kind of a review, I guess I should say, of a Southern Miss football game against Alcorn State. A couple of interesting stories on all the wires today, though, and one that's just broken here in the last hour or so, being reported on OutKick. I think I just heard it on Super Talk, and that is that the SEC, we don't normally talk about this, but this is so unusual. The SEC presidents and chancellors will meet Thursday to decide whether to terminate LSU's membership in the conference. This is according to an amended federal court filing filed by the SEC and picked up by all the major news sources around the country. Now, on a scale of 1 to 10, my fellas, I'm going to give the chances of the SEC expelling LSU a minus zero. Kelly?
I would agree, but what I would like to know is what is the premise? What is the reason?
Well, the premise, according to this, is that the LSU football program is out of control. The administration is doing nothing to try to control the actions of Lane Burrows and their actions.
Lane Kiffin,
and their actions are detrimental to the conference, his actions.
I agree with you that there's little chance that that's going to happen, which would lead me to ask the follow-up question, why are you wasting your time?
I don't know.
This is not going to happen. Now, going back to last week, this might have been a preemptive strike, that if they would have added the NFL players.
And they may still.
Okay, then we have a different story.
Right.
But I just don't think that you can kick somebody out.
No, I don't think that's ever going to happen. I think maybe it is an effort to back him off of these NFL players. That's what I think. Dima, what do you say? Zero chance?
No, certainly not a zero chance. The SEC wouldn't bring this forward if there was no chance to kick them out of the league. The vote, from what I read on the report, comes down to the other members of the conference,
correct,
not
that's
the
right.
SEC. So that vote is taking place on Thursday.
Right. Other members of the conference.
Right. There's a vote on Thursday to whether or not to expel LSU from the SEC. So
is that not amazing?
I think personally it's an absolute overreaction. I get all the off-season stuff, especially with the NFL players and things like that, but to make a move of this magnitude, when you think of what LSU brings to the SEC, you know, obviously their football program, but not to mention baseball, basketball, you know, women's basketball, it would really be a silly
track
and field, sure. I mean, it'd really be just a silly move, in my opinion. I don't know what would happen. I guess the LSU program would be like a Notre Dame, because I mean they'd still recruit the same way they're doing, maybe they would join the Big Ten or the ACC. I don't know, but
and that's what LSU is banking on. LSU is banking on, we bring too much to this conference.
Well, they bring a lot now.
They're not going to do it. That's what LSU is banking on.
They bring a lot.
So they're smelling themselves a little bit, which every school would have to.
I did think it was funny that the complaint was filed in Alabama federal court, which I thought was pretty funny. You know, that they made sure not filed that in Louisiana.
Correct.
They filed that somewhere in another state where a federal judge more than likely wouldn't be an LSU fan.
Well, we know how long it would last in federal court in Louisiana.
I don't think it'd get to opening arguments.
No, but from an entertainment standpoint, it's always good to have a white hat and a black hat, right? A good guy and a bad guy. That's a professional wrestling has been like that forever.
Yeah.
And Lane Kiffin clearly is the bad guy. Ric Flair was the bad guy in wrestling for all these years, which makes it entertaining to watch.
I honestly think it's just a big overreaction. I mean, I just really do believe that. I agree with that. Like, yes, I get the whole complaints about LSU and Ole Miss, him leaving Ole Miss. Who cares? Ole Miss is the one who told him not to coach there during the playoff. It wasn't Lane Kiffin. The only reason he took so long to make the decision is because he couldn't coach Ole Miss in the playoff. And so that to me is like besides the issue. Now the NFL players and the roster, I get all those complaints. And certainly if they're not going to follow the SEC guidelines that the SEC put out, then why would the SEC want them in their conference? Well, I hear all those arguments, but like, I think Lane Kiffin and LSU brings a lot of value to the SEC.
There's no argument about that.
He is a great football coach. There's no doubting that. That team this year looks really good. And so I just think this is a kind of a ridiculous move, in my opinion. Right.
And if somebody should be held accountable, it shouldn't be the entire program. It should be the people who are in charge of running the program.
Correct.
The athletic director, president.
They're not going to throw LSU out of the SEC.
If it did happen, I mean, my question is what would happen to the rest of the schedule? Because they have all these SEC games. For example, LSU Ole Miss next week. Is that a game that's still happening?
Right. But we'll see. Going to be Thursday. I want to move on to this. Here's a great example. Ohio State and Texas are playing Saturday night. Man, that is a compelling football game. But week one is not compelling. I'm going to read a couple of scores to you. BYU 63, Utah Tech 7. Oklahoma 51, UTEP nothing. Utah 66, Idaho 14. Indiana 52, North Texas 16. Ohio State 56, Ball State 3. Georgia 63, Tennessee State 3. And here's the capper. Arizona State 70, Morgan State 7. Morgan State received $600,000 for traveling to the game. The game was so out of hand that they mutually agreed to employ the mercy rule and reduce the fourth quarter by a third.
And there's one that you missed in the Sun Belt where Louisiana Tech put up 80 on Northwestern State.
If you're now having to institute the mercy rule and some of the, is it maybe time to take a second look at these sorts of early season matchups? Dima, you first.
I don't think so. I personally think that, you know, if you're talking from a Power Four situation, all of them play ridiculous schedules, you know, most of their games. So one or two of these, you know, quote-unquote bye games, I think they do matter a lot to the group of four. For example, Southern Miss, I don't exactly know the right number, so I'm not going to report it on here. They're going to get a lot of money for playing Auburn.
Over a million.
It could be. They're going to get a lot of money for playing Auburn this week. That is valuable to the university, regardless of what happens on the field. So I don't think it's – for example, if there was like eight of these games, you know, that these Power Four teams are playing per year, that just wouldn't be right. But the SEC, you know, moving to nine games and then one of your non-conference games has to be a team in the Power Four, you know, they made that rule. So I don't have a problem with one or two games being – cakewalks, if you will.
I'd like to check, too, and see the attendance at some of these games. I mean, you're a pretty loyal fan if you're going to go spend $200 or $300 to go watch Arizona State beat Morgan State 70-7 in three quarters, right?
Well, as much of those attendance has to do with tailgating and the fellowship of other fans.
And the kickoff of football season.
People that you get around first game of the year. The biggest – I totally get the financial part. And you remember when Will Hall was here, you know, he took a beating by the general public when he said we had to play a certain number of quarters at Kentucky to get the check. But the problem I have with those lopsided games is it doesn't even do your second and third string any good. I want to play an opponent that we should be able to handle, and I'm also going to be able to get perhaps my second or third string in and that they could learn something or be challenged in some way. These were just complete mismatches, and I'm not sure that it does good for either team, the winning team or the losing team.
Well, there's a news conference tomorrow at Southern Miss. We believe it's to make the formal announcement about the stadium rename, and we think there's going to be a patch on jersey. So, that you know, USM is going to be getting some additional revenue here. My question, and maybe this question could be asked tomorrow. Of course, the news conferences, unfortunately, always coincide with this show. Will these endorsements lessen the need for that type of game in the future? I'm going to guess not, but I just wonder if maybe that would be a consideration.
I mean, it could be. I certainly wouldn't think for the next 5 years, you know, off the top of my head. Next year, I don't think they play. Oh, they play West Virginia next year, so that's kind of.
That's a more reasonable, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I would think Auburn would be more reasonable.
Well,
you know,
I agree.
Because, I mean, it's different than playing at Texas, you
or
know,
at Georgia.
Or Georgia or Alabama, like they played in years past, or Florida State.
Well, you remember the Eagles were supposed.
Maybe not Florida State anymore.
Yeah, that might. They might win that game.
And the Eagles were supposed to go to Ohio State.
Yes.
Remember,
in 2024. Yeah. Then they went to Kentucky.
Thank
which,
God that didn't happen.
We might have been talking about that at that time.
Oh, right.
Well,
come on.
The Eagles come up with a win this past weekend and do head to Auburn Saturday. But what does ESPN now think about Southern Miss's chances at becoming bowl eligible? We have the Sun Belt Conference Confidence Index that was released this
and
morning.
And a KELNAC update. A KELNAC update right around the corner. Stay with us.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, you need tires for your car or truck? Only one place to go, Eagle Tire West, Highway 98 West. They sell Goodyear, all major brands in addition to Goodyear. They do great service work. They've done it for me. They'll do it on your car or your truck, even AC work, all sorts of maintenance. Eagle Tire, Eagle Tire West. Great Southern Miss supporters, family-owned, operated business since 1985. That's very, very important. Here's another one, Genesis of Hattiesburg. They're the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. They're locally owned. Genesis sedans and SUVs are all at Mississippi's exclusive Genesis dealership. It's right down the street here, Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. And Mobay Beignet Company, alive and well, pumping out those delicious beignets. Every day of the week, 2902 Hardy Street, Facebook at Mobay Company Hattiesburg. The owner of that is the daughter of the legendary mayor of the Roost, and Jody Lott. And I heard from Jody actually today, so we're going to send out a shout-out, Kelly, to our good buddy Jody Lott. We've known him a long time, haven't we?
I'm sure the renovations at the Pete were not completely approved until the mayor put his stamp of approval.
Well, no, nothing gets approved out there with the mayor's stamp. There's no more loyal Southern Miss baseball man breathing on the earth than Jody Lott.
Just when you think, Bob, that they've got statistics on just about everything, right? I mean, when it comes to college football, there isn't anything that they don't keep statistics on.
Here we go.
ESPN has come out with a confidence index. And the way the confidence index works is they take a look at each conference. And, of course, it will be updated after each week. But the confidence index indicates the probability, based on how they played in week one and the rest of their schedule, the probability that teams will become bowl eligible. And that is to reach the six-win plateau. Now, the over-under for Southern Miss was, what, 3.5, I think, in Vegas or places that do such things. So after week one in the Sun Belt Conference, let's take a look at the confidence index. Again, based on ESPN's database and all their people that work for them, what are the odds that Sun Belt teams will become bowl eligible? Well, at 4% at the bottom of the list is Louisiana Monroe. So they don't think the Warhawks have any chance of becoming bowl eligible. But then it goes from 4% up to 42% for two teams, Georgia State, who you've never been a big fan of, and Coastal Carolina, which I thought that was a little bit rough, but Coastal Carolina's got a tough schedule. They played a pretty good opponent week one and lost by a touchdown. But then, interestingly, at 45%, they've got your Marshall Thundering Herd, who you thought was going to be a sleeper this year. Now, they laid an egg Saturday, for sure. Now, they did play Penn State. But they've also got Arkansas State at 45%. So they don't have Arkansas State rated nearly.
And that surprises me because I know they lost. But I thought Arkansas State looked pretty good against Memphis.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. Then the entire – now, remember, I haven't mentioned Southern Miss. The entire rest of the Sun Belt Conference, according to the first ESPN Confidence Index, they have every other team in the Sun Belt winning at least six games. They've got South Al at 57% chance, Georgia Southern at 58%, Troy at 65%, Old Dominion at 66%, La Tech at 66%, Louisiana at 82%, and have you got the bell ready?
Go ahead.
At 83, well, you can do the Mormon Tabernacle Choir too, either one. At 83%, according to ESPN, Southern Miss will be bowl eligible. They have an 83% chance of winning at least six games, according to ESPN. Appalachian State, 84%, and James D. Madison at 90%. So Southern Miss ranked third in the Sun Belt in the first ESPN Confidence Index.
I love putting Demo on the spot. Are you buying it?
I don't know. It's week one. I mean, it's just
you can tell he's not getting any sleep.
Can't we relax a little bit?
I mean, I don't know. It's week one. They played Alcorn. Let's
it's a
chill out a bit.
It's a segment filler.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, I certainly think the path to six wins starts next week by beating UConn. If they can do that, there is a path, I think, to having six wins. The problem I've said all year with Southern Miss having six wins is even if they have a good season, their schedule is just so dang tough. Going to Louisiana Tech, hosting James Madison, going to Old Dominion, playing Auburn. I mean, that's four more than likely losses right there, and that's assuming no other hiccups throughout the rest of the season. So, and you got to go to Tulane, which I know right now I'm not sure about Tulane, but that's still a talent. I mean, you would think Tulane would have a little bit more talent than Southern Miss. So I've said that all season, is even if Southern Miss looks better than we all expect them to look, getting to six wins is just tough because of the schedule they have to play.
I do have to say I've already started popping popcorn for the Tulane weekend. I just cannot wait to see this.
And you know, and this is all hypothetical, but let's say Connecticut comes down here. You beat Connecticut.
Yeah.
Tulane continues to get in its own way. You could be looking at a 3-1 start. Then, in order to be bowl eligible, you just got to come up with three more somewhere down right. The road.
Oh, that would
that's what we said last year.
Well, I'm just saying.
That would be the perfect, you know, situation, because then you could afford to lose
the ones that you're talking about.
There's a game every year at Southern Miss that they lose that you're just like, what? You know, last year was the game, or it was probably two games last year, the Texas State home game where they just got rolled. And then the next week at South Alabama, where they were 14-point favorites and got destroyed.
And there was one a couple of years ago.
Yeah, Georgia State came in here.
Yeah,
that was ugly.
Yeah,
there's just been games. There's one every year. So I'm holding out on that game, which looking at the schedule, I don't know exactly which one that's going to be. So who knows?
Well, let me tell you something, Demon. That's always been the way it is, and I'll date myself. I was witness to the magnificent win over Bear Bryant. 38-28, I believe, years ago at Denny Stadium. First time they had lost in 5 or 6 years at home. Riding the ultimate wave, and then came back home next weekend and watched them lose to a sub-500 Louisiana Tech team. So this is nothing new.
I'll never forget the UAB loss in 2011.
Right. That's where I was going.
That was the worst I remember.
Yeah. Because
that was bad.
You'd have been in one of the major bowls.
Yeah, I was standing on the sideline for that game. I was like an 8-year-old.
And that was like a Thursday night, wasn't it? Some kind of weird rain.
Well, I hope ESPN is right. And I agree with what you guys are saying. I see a little bit of a path, but I think we'll know how realistic that is 3 weeks from now.
And these are going to be updated week by week. You know, you certainly wouldn't think that, say, Arkansas State would be continued toward the bottom. And maybe Southern Miss maybe not be so high up. But it is kind of fun to look at these. And if the team continues to play as disciplined, taking care of the football, having very few penalties, and executing that, keep that high-charged offense moving, it's a different view of this Southern Miss team today, regardless of who they play.
But let me ask you this, and then, Kelly, you can jump in here too. Short of a victory on the scoreboard, what would be a victory for Southern Miss Saturday night?
Well, certainly getting out of there healthy. You know, that would be the number one thing I think I'm looking for, is just no major injuries to any of your major players. You know, I think a system where you're not just getting destroyed. You know, a game where, you know, they went down to Florida State a couple of years ago and it was like 66-13 or something like that. Then they went to Alabama a couple of seasons before that and got just clobbered there. When they went to Kentucky in 2024 and just, it was 31-0 at halftime and they called the game, you know. Anything like that, I would hope to avoid. You know, if it was something like last year when they played State and it was like, what is it, 10-7 at halftime?
Yeah, it was competitive at halftime.
At competitive halftime, then that death just kind of pulled away at the end, and they won 34-17. You know, that'd be great to me. So that's kind of what I'm looking for. It's competitive in the first half. I expect Auburn's talent to certainly win out, you know, towards in the second half as it should. Competitive in the first half would be what
I think that's the perfect analogy, Kelly. What do you say?
Consistency. I just want to, regardless of the score, I want them to execute the way they did this past weekend. Take care of the football. You know, don't turn it over. Very few penalties. If they can continue to do that, regardless of who they play, they're at least going to compete.
The one concern I have, and this is just looking at it from, you know, my lens, I don't think they'll be able to run the football as effectively as they did. No, actually, I don't even think. I know they will not be able to run the football as effectively as they did against Alcorn State. Can the passing game keep up with? Because I didn't think the passing game was great by any means against Alcorn State, and they kind of like went away from it in the second half. So I understand that, but you're not going to average 6 yards a carry against Auburn. I'm sorry.
Right. Competitive, no injuries, be in the ball game, relatively speaking, throughout the evening, and then move on, because that's the last school like that you're going to play all year.
Oh, yeah, certainly. And Blake Anderson said yesterday in his press conference, you know, it's like when you turn on the tape, it's like you're turning on fast forward from the week prior, he said, but you're not going to see anything like this again.
They may be middle of the road. I hate to say this. This grieves my heart. But they're an SEC school, and that's just the reality.
I just sense a different Southern Miss team, though, with Blake Anderson at the helm. I really do.
Their quarterback makes more in NIL than Southern Miss's whole NIL budget.
There you go. How do you compete with that?
Boy, it's just the truth.
Boy, Dima's such a sunshine pumper, isn't he?
I just say the truth.
No, I know. I understand.
All right, when we come back, Lee Roberts joins the Eagle Hour. There we go.
Southern Miss to the top.
Let's go between the lines and break down Southern Miss football.
Exclusive analysis sponsored by Hancock Whitney Bank.
At Hancock Whitney, we know strong communities are built through teamwork, dedication, and tradition. The same values that define Southern Miss Athletics. I'm Daniel Stewart, business banker at Hancock Whitney. We're proud to support Eagle Hour and the student athletes, alumni, and fans who make Golden Eagle Nation so special. Whether you're buying a home, growing your business, planning for retirement, or simply looking for a trusted financial partner, our team is here to help you every step of the way. Hancock Whitney, your dream, our mission. Proud to support Southern Miss. To the top.
All right, let's break down the opener with our good friend Lee Roberts, color analyst, former great quarterback for the Golden Eagles. Lee, we were talking about it yesterday, and if you go back and look at the last 3 or 4 years where the Golden Eagles opened against a SWAC opponent, and we say that with all due respect to the SWAC opponents, I think maybe this is the best they've looked in that kind of game in the past three or four seasons. Yes or no?
No, I agree with you. I mean, I felt like for your opener with a team that has, you know, more than 70 new players, I think you did exactly what you were supposed to do. Obviously, we knew we should have won the football game. Outside of giving up the first points of the game to Alcorn, I felt like we did everything else right in the game. You know, had that missed field goal early, but we scored in every quarter. We moved the ball offensively. We ran the ball great offensively. We played good defensively. So I think a lot of great things happened on Saturday. And, you know, some young guys, some experienced guys really showed what they can do in the black and gold. And guys stepped up in situations as well. I mean, I think the coaching staff had to be pretty pleased overall with the way they played. And like I said, against a SWAC team, that's what you want to do. You want to be able to go in and put up points and get your second-level guys and even some third-level guys, give them a chance to play and get back and regroup and get ready to go from SWAC to SEC this week.
Full disclosure, Lee, I was a little bit nervous midway through that second quarter, especially when the Braves took that 3-0 lead. I said, oh, boy, the Twitter world is going to be lighting up about this. Kind of a slow start for the Eagles when they missed that field goal. But when they talk about coaches making changes at halftime, but what was the biggest difference that you saw from your bird's eye view, the biggest differences that the Eagles did in execution in the second half as opposed to the first?
I mean, I just think they just kind of settled in. I mean, I think there were some nerves to start the game. There was some little bit of misfire. I know quarterback play, Ethan Hampton was not as sharp as he could have been to start the game. I think he completed his first two passes, and then he missed his next six or seven. You know, but then he settled in, and at one point I think he was 3 of 10 passing.
Yep.
But then finished with pretty decent numbers. But running the football, I felt like, is really where we kind of opened things up. I know Robert Briggs had a lot of publicity coming into this weekend. Didn't get to see a whole lot of Robert Briggs, but, man, we had some running backs step up. Running through tackles, getting to the second level, making guys miss. Obviously, offensive line played the way they needed to play. And, again, defensively, I feel like defensively we did what we needed to as well. You don't ever want to go behind to a SWAC opponent early in the game like we did, but they settled in. The nerves kind of were put aside, and they came and played football, and I was proud of them.
And the way that they did come back, what now that the results are in, can we take out of that win over Alcorn? What do you like most about what you take out of that?
And I really like our running game. You know, it's going to be a different against a different opponent this weekend, but you put up over 300 yards rushing, and it wasn't just, you know, kind of eating the clock late in the game. I mean, it was pounding the ground, opening up holes, making guys miss. So I really liked our running game for sure. And then in the secondary play, we created takeaways. And I think anytime you do that, you give your offense a chance to get the ball back in extra possession. That's always huge. So great effort by Kobe Albert in the secondary with three picks, and then great running the football offensively.
I'm excited to see the running game too, Lee. But just I know it's a tall ask to ask them to rush for 317 yards every game, which is not going to happen, especially not this weekend. How confident are you in the passing game moving forward? Because, like you said, you know, Hampton didn't look sharp, you know, early on. It felt like to me once they were able to start running the ball, that's when the passing game opened up. I just don't think they're going to be able to run the ball as effectively as they did on Saturday against Auburn. So Hampton and the wide receivers against Auburn's secondary, what do you think about that matchup?
You know, again, it was early, and so, like I said, you had jitters, but I feel like everybody did settle in. Running did help the pass, so that's when Ethan did kind of settle in. I think it's going to take a great week of practice on all their parts this week, and Hampton kind of knows, hey, where was I not sharp? Where do I need to get better? I think he'll get those corrected. Obviously, Blake Anderson will do that. Coach Cephalo will as well. And but yeah, it's a different matchup. I think you go in with a mindset that you have some confidence. You know you can run the football. You just got to go do it. You got to try to create some edge. You got to better get some gaps. You got to make guys miss. And so if you can run the football, it'll open up the pass. And again, not going to be the same as we saw on Saturday, but I feel confident in this unit, and that we have like a stable of backs, and we got three backs that can really go.
Blake talks a lot about seeing some jitters, and you're kind of talking about it with some of his players against Alcorn State. And he said, if you're in his press conference yesterday, you know, if you're nervous here at the Rock, and I'm not going to introduce you to, you know, 80,000 fans at Jordan-Hare Stadium. How do you think, as a coach, you know, you try to get your kids ready and make sure that those jitters aren't as high as maybe, you know, they might be, and you say, listen, guys, we just got to go and play football, play your game of football.
And I think that is. I think it just starts in the film room, just making sure that each guy is confident in the game plan. They're confident in what they have to do and their task. And it's so well rehearsed in their mind that they just go out and react. You know, quarterback, receiver need to know where they're going to be at all time. Running back needs to know who he's going to pick up on a blitz. Wide receivers need to know how they will side adjust. Defensively, you got to know where the quarterback is at all times. So, I think it's just preparation. Not that you're not prepared to have a little nerves. I think everybody has a little nerves to start the game, regardless what level you are. If you're not, I don't think you're ready. But you just got to better get past those nerves and continue to play and react. And I feel confident we will.
Lee, a new team like we see right now, do they benefit from playing an opponent like Auburn early? And if so, how do they benefit from playing a game like this, if in fact you think they do?
You know, I think you do, but kind of going from what we saw Saturday where we dominated a SWAC team to where we're going into an SEC school that's got a lot of tradition, it's a big gap to kind of close. I know Auburn is kind of in a similar situation we are. It's a new roster. It's a new coach, new atmosphere. They're trying to figure things out as well. But I think you just go play. They're a great team that has – tradition. It's going to be a lot of fun. They're going to pack it in there. I think we just kind of have to go play our game and do what we do best.
But put it in perspective, Dima pointed out to us that we believe the Auburn quarterback's NIL deal is bigger than the entire NIL budget for the Southern Miss Athletic Department. And Lee, does that not illustrate the enormous gap that we now see between the group of five and the Power Four?
No, I agree. It's a huge gap for sure. Kind of sickening to think that a college student's going to make that much money, but hey, that's where we are. That's the life we live right now. That's what has happened. The NCAA has allowed it. Teams that have money, they get to benefit from it. Seems like Southern Miss have to do everything they can to pinch pennies and, you know, scratch and get every cent that they can to get the right personnel, the right coaching staff, and you do a lot with a little. That's just kind of been the mindset with Southern Miss. And even back when I played, we kind of felt the same because facility-wise, we're not as great as others that we played. And you just kind of have that mindset. You have to do a lot with a little. But, yeah, the quarterback Brown, man, he's making a lot of money. That's impressive. Proud of him. Proud for him, rather.
One big difference is that your teams, you went to those venues with every expectation of winning the football game.
Well, you have to. I think you play to win. You have to prepare like you're going to go out and compete no matter who is lining up the cross of you. So it's just kind of the mindset you have to have. Again, I know listening to Coach Blake Anderson's press conferences about this past weekend, on paper, yeah, we were supposed to win Saturday. On paper, we're not supposed to win this coming Saturday. That's just kind of the way it is. I mean, Sunbelt school is not supposed to be an SEC school. But you know what? There's not one guy in that locker room that doesn't believe that they can go in there and win. And if so, they shouldn't dress out. I just think that's kind of the culture we've created is you practice, you prepare, and you go play like you're going to win every snap, every game.
No, I like that. Man, if you don't think you can win, don't dress out.
And financially, if your parents could have just waited 30 or 35 years, you know?
Hey. I know, right? What were they thinking, man?
Western Michigan almost beat Michigan. So Southern Miss can almost beat Auburn.
I agree. All right, Lee, we appreciate you, buddy. Have you on the show next week.
Hey, sounds good. Appreciate you guys.
Lee Roberts, everybody. That segment was sponsored by DBAT out on Hardy Street. Luke Reynolds and that great staff out there do state-of-the-art training. Sports of every kind for adults, baseball, softball for kids. DBAT, Hardy Street, lucky to have them. As we are, MCS Home Center, everything for home repair, home remodeling, home construction. Check them out. MCS Home Center, 7329 Highway 98 West.
We received a call from ICE this morning. We'll bring you that report on the other side of this break.
Kelnack update next.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, Dima, I understand you have an ICE update.
Well, Kelly does. It was sent to him by a pigeon.
What do we got, Kelly?
Well, it does appear now that everything has been straightened out with the U.S. government, the authorities that be, that Kelnack only got through ICE when he showed his Super Talk Mississippi
media credential.
Yes, his media credential.
Thank God we got to him.
Which, you know, there are some people that just don't think that that Kelnack should have media
or
credentials.
Or anyone from Super Talk.
But it is our understanding that that he and Hump will be in town on Thursday.
There's hope.
Yeah. There we were hoping it would actually be tomorrow because tomorrow is
Hump Day.
Hump Day. Oh. Right. Mike.
So he'll be here Thursday.
Thursday.
And Hump is limping a little bit because of how bad he got beat up.
Was ice rough on him?
You'll have to talk to the man when he gets here on,
we'll have to
on
see
Thursday.
What happened there?
Yeah. Well, you know.
I don't know.
Tensions are high.
They are.
On the border. I get it.
But Kelnack is a true professional. And
it's been a long journey for him. We've been teasing this for a month and a half.
Well, you know he's tired.
Do you know how long it takes to make it from the Middle East on the back of a camel?
Apparently 3.5 years, because he hasn't been on the show since 3.5 years.
Thank God we were able to get that federal injunction after he was stopped on the border and got that correct. Good work on that one, Kelly. What was your law firm that did that for us?
Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe.
Yeah, there we go.
They're the best.
So if Donald Trump shows up on Thursday, too, we'll know we did it wrong.
Hey, we've got soccer and volleyball, the only other two sports that are cranking right now. Soccer playing Thursday. The ladies are hosting, the volleyball team hosting their own invitational this weekend. They'll be playing on Saturday and Sunday. Next week, we hope to be bringing you some interviews with some of the young ladies to make up this year's volleyball team. We've already talked to Coach Hazelwood, but we'll get to introduce you to some of the players. They're off to a pretty good start. They're off to a 4-1 start so far this year.
Good for them. Soccer, so, how's soccer doing? Are they off to a little better?
2-2-2. They're still trying to sort themselves out. You know, soccer is one of those strange sports that you're able to tie. And
never have understood.
So, except I guess in the World Cup, you know, they do those shootouts.
Why don't they do that in collegiate soccer? That's exciting, too.
It is, but I'm telling you, Bob, you get out there in those 98-degree days and it's 115 heat index. Whew, boy, I don't know.
I'm embarrassed to say I actually enjoyed watching the FIFA World Cup.
Yeah, I don't
because
know.
Of you.
I don't
because
know why you were embarrassed. It's, I mean, and,
because of you.
Like I say, no matter what you're watching, if they're the very best in the world at what they do.
Those guys are pretty good.
Yeah. And of course, the way the World Cup works, it's every 4 years. So in 2 years, it'll be the women's turn. And then the next, and I'm not sure. I know we said where the next World Cup is going to be. But
All right, tomorrow, news conference at 2 o'clock, been called. Dima's going to do a report for us in the 1:20 break. We think that's going to be, we're pretty sure that's going to be about the Renaissance Stadium. But you guys were mentioning it earlier. Force General is said to reportedly going to sponsor a patch on the
shirt. They did it. They were wearing the patch on at the game.
Oh, they were wearing it Saturday.
They did. They've kind of rebranded to talk about complete health rather than just treating health when you become sick. It's trying to prevent.
Correct.
Health. I mean, really, if the healthcare system, the way things stand now, continue, I mean, the only way to be able to battle prices and costs of things is we have to take better care of ourselves on the front side. That's just all there is to it.
Hey, before we run out of time, I've got to remind our listeners about a couple of our buddies, Marty Vick down at Jewel Masters, still buying gold and silver. Also, the holidays, it's hard to believe. The holidays are not that far off. And if you want to get like something really nice made, some custom piece of jewelry, brings back a lot of memories. It's special moment in your family. Marty's just absolutely superb at that. So, Jewel Masters, and look, UConn coming up. If I were going to have a big tailgate, no one would come. But if Kelly had a big tailgate,
no one would
have
come.
A big turnout. Yeah. And
no one especially wouldn't come to that.
Yeah, where would you cater that, Kelly?
Well, I would go to
Dickie's Barbecue.
Well, I was thinking Movie Star. Movie Star's right down the road
you
here.
You would go to Dickie's Barbecue, yeah, Kelly, for tailgating.
That's exactly where I would go. No,
would tailgate at Dickie's from Dickie's Barbecue Pit, but the night before on Friday night.
Have a buffet, Star. Yeah, there we go.
That would be a good weekend.
Well, you have all bases covered. And then for a dessert, we could go down to Mo' Bay.
Yeah, that's a great time.
Wow.
And then you could drive down there in a Genesis automobile.
Yes, that you bought at the exclusive Genesis dealership on Highway 98 West.
And the table decorations could be from MCS Home Center.
Because they have everything for the home, lawn, or garden. And if you got ill from any reason, you could go to Forest Healthcare and they'd take care of
it. In my case, it would be drinking too much.
Right. Or if you had a flat on the way, who would you call?
That would be Eagle Tire West.
Have we covered everything?
After all that, if you want to take some cuts at DBAT, you know, you could do that too.
Yes, and if you want to hear this mess twice, you can go to the Super Talk Giggle Hour podcast.
Sometimes.
Apple, Audible, Spotify, TuneIn, YouTube, Alexa, or Siri will play it for everyone except our man Kelly here.
Yes.
So, no change on that front.
Can you imagine people wanting to listen to this twice?
I can't imagine them wanting to listen to it once.
Let me think about that. You know? No. Southern Miss.
To the top.
Slipping into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.